Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
If you're watching our Phil TV in HD, that is not the El Pacifico, but it's close. That's Mavericks in Northern California. We just had a little video clip there of Ride the Wild Surf kind of stuff. Anyway, welcome to the program here. And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're on every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is a show where truth is our bitch, and we go places other shows wish they could, but they cannot. And then we usually go like play the boots marching. And by the way, the boots marching has a special significance because we're watching the very bad movie Hitler, starring Richard Basehart, the black and white film that it's so badly done. They filmed it in the Southwest. So when they're driving to the Berchtesgaden, which was in the alpine forests of the German Alps, they're driving through, it looks like Thousand Oaks or something.
Yeah, it looks like a desert.
They're driving through a desert, yeah. And then they get to Hitler's mansion, and they've got this fake background of forests. So it's very entertaining. Anyway, welcome to the show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Now, the things we're going to deal with tonight will be the debate. We're going to find out why it is. We're going to talk to Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. They had thrown their support behind Rick Perry. Larry will be on with us tonight. He is bitterly disappointed, as are other members of that organization, as to the performance of Rick Perry. They're very, to be perfectly honest with you, they're a little bit confused as to the stand of Rick Perry on a number of things. We're also going to talk with Don Berman tonight, whose Channel 19 reports have been focusing on America's weight problem and weight loss problem, and what he and others at Channel 19, what they've discovered, and what they think they can do as television broadcasters to correct that. Bobby Dooley will be on with us to talk about Solyndra and the Western States Democratic Women's Club and the kinds of problems that, you know, that Obama is going to have because of this. It's a real, I'll tell you right now, that situation, that Solyndra situation, Obama's got nobody to blame but himself on that one. I mean, you can talk about politics being at the core of a lot of things, bedeviling the president, but that Solyndra, man, that's a cluster, you know what, that was just waiting to happen. So we'll be talking about all of that. 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget our affiliate spotlight tonight, focusing on WLRS in Lexington, Kentucky. And
what do you mean, don't forget? They you didn't tell them yet.
What did he say?
Don't forget. Well, they didn't know they had something to forget.
They didn't know they had something to forget. Why don't you guys just pay attention to what you're doing? Here, see all that stuff? Put that together.
All right.
They didn't know they had something to forget. Anyway, our affiliate spotlight tonight on Lexington, Kentucky's WLRS. Great radio station. Thanks for being on the Phil Hendry Show Network. And in Vidalia, Georgia, WVOP, another great station on our network. And we're also on philhenryshow.com right now with our live streaming video of the show, Phil TV in HD. You can also get our archives. You can also get our ranch. You can also get our news feed. You can also get our daily podcast. You can also get our classic podcast. It's all there, man. It's a beautiful thing. Pick up a backstage pass today. All right. On the line with me from Culver City, California right now is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern Counties. We're going to talk a little bit about the debate last night, Larry. You and I had talked, and I know that you had said you had been very clear that you guys, even though you're not necessarily a Tea Partier, you were supporting Rick Perry.
Yeah, Phil, that is absolutely correct. We were very much in the corner of Governor Perry, and you were also correct when you say that we don't consider ourselves Tea Partiers. We don't have a problem with the Tea Party. We have no real feud with the Tea Party, but I'd rather keep the focus on the Republican Party to the extent that we can get our candidate, Republican candidate, nominated. You know, we're not nominating a Tea Party candidate. Ultimately, Phil, we're going to be nominating a Republican candidate. I would, yes, like to see a conservative candidate, more conservative perhaps than the party would put up. But right now, my focus is on is getting a conservative in there.
All right. So what is the story with Rick Perry? What is the meaning of the statement that your organization made today that he has confused and that he's confused issues and he's confused supporters?
Me, as it struck everyone watching the debate last night that supports Governor Perry, was the fact that he that his programs and his policies provide tuition money, taxpayer tuition money, to illegal immigrants in Texas. Now, I was unaware of this. I don't think anyone that supports the governor was 100% aware of what is clearly a Obama-style, liberal, socialized policy. And for Governor Perry to hide that, or to otherwise obfuscate it or confuse it to the point where we're not 100% clear on why, whether or not it's in the program, that was a shocker for me. And I think it was a shocker for so many of his supporters.
Well, do you think it was a shocker for people that have followed the governor since the beginning? Do you think was it just a shocker for you or a shocker for all of Perry's supporters?
You can't be a Rick Perry supporter, and you cannot possibly expect the Tea Party to fall in line behind Rick Perry, which is what they've done, when you are giving taxpayer money to illegal immigrants. This is a bit of subterfuge on the part of the Rick Perry campaign that has me reeling and other conservatives reeling. And I'll tell you something else. We have, Phil, to use the football term, we've got nothing but open field running ahead of us. The Republican Party would have to slip up badly in order for us to lose the forthcoming election. Look at this Solyndra situation that you have just been referring to. That alone is going to sink the Obama administration. And yet we seem to be doing our level best to chase away the mainstream conservative voter from the Republican ticket and have them go perhaps to a third party like a Donald Trump party, which, as you well know, will mean the death knell of the Republican chances in 2012.
All right, now let's get back to what it is you say is chasing the conservative voter away. You're saying that Rick Perry and...
If you watched the debate last night, you saw Rick Perry completely incapable of answering a question concerning tuition money that he's giving to illegal immigrants, which I was not aware of. I don't know that anybody in the Tea Party was aware of it. I had no...
Well, it's not exactly something that is a state secret, is it?
In what sense do you mean?
It's not... In what sense do I mean that? Obviously, it's not a. No one's hiding it. Rick Perry, as part of his program as governor of the state of Texas, felt that it was in the best interests of the state to provide this tuition money.
Well, he may think that, but that does not make him a conservative or Tea Party candidate. It doesn't even make him a conservative candidate. It makes him, in my opinion, it makes him a liberal, progressive Republican candidate. And we don't need one of those, my friend, because right now the lines have been drawn. We've got enough liberals to deal with in the Democratic Party and the Obama wing of the Democratic Party and the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. We don't need any liberals in the Republican Party. And when he was asked point blank these questions concerning the fact that he's giving tuition to illegal immigrants, you're hearing what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, no, I'm hearing it.
Well, for God's sake, do you understand that that's not even a conservative Republican stand? I can't even tell you, that's a Democratic Party stand. That's not the Republican Party. So what happened was, I'm getting phone calls until 1 o'clock in the morning last night from people that are stunned. I'm getting phone calls from people that I have known for years. These are people that are staunch Republicans and conservatives, and they're asking me the same thing. What is he doing? And I can tell you, Phil, I had no answer.
The thing that I'm having a hard time with, and we're talking with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, the thing that I'm having a hard time with is this following sense. This is something he's been doing in his state. All right. Then if you're a Rick Perry supporter, you should know this.
No, you wouldn't know it. How else does this guy get the Tea Party support? How else does he become the standard bearer of conservative ideals in the Republican Party unless he has hidden the fact that he is walking up to illegal immigrants on the street and saying, hi, are you illegal? Yes, here, here's some money. Go to school in Texas. Because that's basically what he's doing.
And it, well, it's not exactly like that.
It's not exactly. Why do you say it's not exactly like that? I mean, I'm being facetious.
Well, I mean, first of all, this tuition money that's being given to illegals is being given to illegals who have been here since they were children, since they were very small. In other words, thoroughly Americanized, though not legally American citizens. Okay?
Well, look, right now you're making a Democratic Party argument, okay?
And well, you can call it what you want. I mean, the reason why my feeling is...
No, I know that you are saying that they've been here for a long time, so they deserve this money. Let me give you one more little thing about Rick Perry. Not only is he giving them this money, but he's giving it to them, and native-born Americans are not getting the same discount. So they're getting a discount, you see? And all of this Rick Perry has been doing under the nose of conservatives like myself, conservatives like the Tea Party, and I am floored, because that doesn't leave me with anyone. Not right now. You know, the conservatives of Kern County, we're going to meet and caucus over the weekend. But it sure doesn't leave us with any real viable candidate, anyone that can seriously take this party to the White House.
Romney, no good.
Oh, Romney, are you kidding with Romney? Romney's a guy that had Obamacare in Massachusetts. Now we've got a guy in Texas that's Jerry Brown. This is not good.
What about Bachman?
Bachman's not going to get elected. She'll never get elected. Sarah Palin will never get elected. Rick Santorum is not going to... I watched Rick Santorum, and he gave the most non-conservative answer to the gay in the military question. The gay soldier. Gay conservatives should not be concerned with gays in the military. That's not a conservative issue. We don't care. We're concerned about economics and the policies of economics. And I'll tell you something right now. I almost want to cry. I almost want to cry, because what I'm finding out now, when I walk up to Tea Party people and I say, did you hear Perry? And they go, yeah, isn't he great? I said, well, what do you mean, isn't he great? He just said that he's giving money to illegal. And they look at you like they're not quite sure what they heard, and they can't think that quickly, and they still want to support him. We've got a problem.
Well, look, if you want a conservative, if this is truly Rick Perry's stand, what did he say to the questions?
He didn't say anything. He didn't defend himself at all. He stood there with those shirts that he's got, with those collars that are a mile long. He looks like a guy, he looked like he was hanging on for dear life. He looked like at any minute they were going to go ahead and cut the cord and say, you know what, we didn't pack your chute right. Have a nice trip down. That's what he looked like.
You know what, we didn't pack your chute right.
That's right.
Have a nice trip down. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. You haven't really posed it. Well, the question you're posing now, is there a conservative candidate left now that you find out that Rick Perry was giving tuition money to illegals?
That's right. And the answer is no, there isn't. There's no viable, truly conservative candidate left. Michelle Bachman is not going to get elected as a crossing guard. She's not going to get elected president of the United States. There's not a chance on God's good green earth.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. It came as a bolt of lightning to Larry and other members of his organization that Rick Perry his administration was providing tuition money to illegal immigrants. And apparently during the debate, Mr. Perry, or Governor Perry, did not sufficiently answer the question why. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Larry Grover here from Conservatives of Kern County. We got David G. Hall coming up later on. We're going to have Don Berman coming up later on, and possibly Bobby Dooley here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County about the showing of Rick Perry, not only just the showing of Rick Perry in the debates, but Governor Perry's credentials as a conservative and the fact that he is endorsing the giving of tuition to illegal immigrants disqualifies him.
Phil. And, you know, I'll give you another example of what a farce politics can be unless you take it very seriously. Rick Perry is a lot of flash and a lot of smoke and a lot of mirrors. Now, I'm a Republican, and I'm a conservative Republican. And you're not going to tell me, just because a guy is the governor of Texas and walks around with cowboy boots and waves that Alamo flag and talks all this good talk about secession, you're not going to tell me that qualifies the guy necessarily as a conservative. You got to have to walk the walk and not talk the talk. Now he comes up and says, we're giving money to illegal immigrants. Now, that's not only not a conservative position, that's not even a Republican position, that's a Democrat's position.
Well, and he had no explanation.
He had no explanation. Well, Romney, who, I'll tell you one thing about Romney, he's smart. And if you mess up around Romney, he'll nail you, excuse me for using this imagery, he'll nail you to a cross. Romney will take you and spread you out on a cross and drive those railroad spikes right through your hands and your feet, raise you up, drive a sword in your side.
Okay, I get the image, all right? I mean, that is a rather sacred image.
I'm sorry, Phil, but that's exactly what Romney will do to you. And what happened when Perry was not able to give a good answer, Romney came in for the kill. And I mean, it was almost like what you would see a hawk circling a little mouse or something. You know, if you've ever seen these nature channels, I watch them with my kids, where you see on the nature channel is like a mouse and it's eating a berry or it's eating a little insect or it's a furry mouse. And all of a sudden a hawk comes down and with just one bite, not only eats and swallows the mouse, gets a belch out, and he's not even airborne yet. That's what Romney's going to do to Perry. I'm disappointed. I thought he had more substance than that.
All right, let's go to Austin. Hi, Austin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, talking here with Larry Grover.
Yes, sir. I'm originally from Texas myself, and I wanted to ask the gentleman, if you say that Governor Perry is not a conservative, are you saying that everything that he stands for, besides the tuition, is not a conservative stand?
I don't really, to be honest with you, sir, when a man says that he's a conservative and you find out there's a fundamental flaw in his conservative policy, then you have to ask yourself whether he's sincere about anything.
What does Governor Perry stand on the Obamacare and health care and all this?
Because, well, I mean, what Larry's saying.
What I'm saying to you is this. I don't know what his stand is. I don't really care what his stand is because I do know what his stand is out of wedlock, but
you're talking about illegal alien.
Illegal alien tuition.
Right, illegal alien tuition. What do I call it? Out of wedlock tuition?
Yeah, you call it out of wedlock.
I don't know why I was thinking that, but if you look at his stand on out of...
It's illegal, just giving tuition to illegal aliens.
Yeah, but I want to call it out of wedlock, and I don't know why that is.
But I don't know. But you're talking about giving tuition to illegal aliens. That's one, but I was just wondering if there's another area, any other areas that you saw in his conservative philosophy that he's compromising, because I did not have a chance to see this.
Well, are you a supporter of Governor Perry's?
Yes, sir. When I lived in Texas, I voted for him, yes, sir.
Voted for him, all right? And when you lived in Texas, were his policies satisfactory?
Right after I voted for him, I moved.
Right after you voted for him, you moved. Did you move because of him?
No, I just felt like I wanted to change the scenery. And I wanted to get my vote in. So I voted, and then the next day we loaded up, and my wife had a different idea. But we had two cars.
And, yeah, all right, that's fine. I'm not interested in how you moved out of the state. What I'm asking you is, you voted for Rick Perry, and then you moved. Did you know you were going to move before you voted?
Oh, yes, sir.
But you wanted to get your vote in.
Yes, sir, I did.
Were you aware of that?
Well, let me ask you this. Are you a Republican, right, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm very much a Republican.
And you like Rick Perry?
I did until I heard this gentleman talking about Governor Perry and his stand on aliens, on alien tuition.
Don't say out of wedlock, on illegal alien tuition.
Yes, sir. Well, I think I can understand this gentleman being upset. That's not a conservative stand. So I'm grateful that I cast a vote and then moved.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Back with Larry Grover in just a moment.
Phil Hendry.
Can I get your autograph?
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Larry Grover this evening about Rick Perry and the debate the other night in which the governor of Texas was not able to adequately defend his giving tuition to illegal immigrant or illegal aliens, I guess is the best way of putting it.
Let's be very clear, Phil. The tuition is going, and I want to be so that people will know that I'm fair. The tuition is going to immigrants that have been in the country since they were born. But nonetheless, this is a stand on an issue that has been, from the very beginning, one that the conservative wing of the Republican Party has been against. Perry now says that this is what he's been doing all along, which feels like a little bit of a betrayal. And then his showing in the debate was so bad, Romney was able to eat him up and spit him out. I feel personally betrayed. And I think anybody that supported Rick Perry should feel personally betrayed as well. And I think that it goes without saying. And let me just say this, because Mother wants to weigh in on this, Phil.
Would you say hi to your mom for me?
I will. Phil Hendry says hello, Mom.
Phil, thank
you. I want to say this before Mother weighs in. Let me say this. Last week on your program, I came on, and I said that Rick Perry and Mitt Romney both were men of very striking physical characteristics. They're handsome men. And I'm telling you right now that Rick Perry thinks that he's so good-looking, he can pull a fast one like this, and he figures that people are still going to vote for him because of his looks.
And that's a pretty absurd statement, don't you think?
No, I don't think it's absurd, given... To the people that you and I know, to the serious people, oh, of course it's absurd. But we're talking about the United States of America, a country that spends a very significant portion of its week watching American Idol and X Factor. This is a country that spends a significant portion of its week watching Big Brother or whatever these other shows are. You can't reasonably and seriously tell me that Rick Perry being handsome is not going to play into whether he gets votes.
But to the extent, is that it Rick Perry's looks will, in other words, wash away any doubt someone has about his political philosophy?
I think that if Rick Perry looks at you with that handsome Texas face and he says, well, sure, I give money to illegal immigrants, but, you know, I'm your boy. And I don't want to sound absurd, because I'm not trying to be absurd. I'm trying to be literal here. But if he looks into the camera and says, yes, I do give money to illegal immigrants for tuition, and I give it to them at a discount, which means that people that are born here pay more, and I do that even though I'm the Tea Party candidate for president, but I'm handsome, and, you know, and look at me, I'm handsome. He's not going to say that literally, Phil. What I'm asking you to do...
No, you're not saying... He's not saying it literally, but you're saying that that's essentially the...
Yes, I'm telling you he's going to... Mother, hold on a minute, will you? I want to talk
to this. Phil, I talked to Larry about this. I am a conservative like Larry. Larry's father was a much stronger man than Larry, and I love Larry very much, but he's a weak man.
Mother, please.
Oh, Larry, please. Larry is a weak man, and he has been, life is difficult for Larry. But I, hold on, Larry.
Don't do that, Mother.
Hold on, because I want to... But I have to agree with my son here, because I would vote for Rick Perry.
Because he's handsome?
Yes, because he's handsome. He's a very handsome man. And there are a lot of women who are older, like myself, who don't have really much left. I don't kid myself, Bill, and I don't kid Larry. I don't have many years left. I think I've probably got at the outside 3 or 4 years left.
And why do you talk like that, Mother?
Larry, please, I'm talking to Mr. Henry. And
that's a very negative and very depressing thought.
Bill, don't. I know that you're paid to be positive, and don't try to BS a BSer, is the old thing. But I'm saying to you that if I would vote for Rick Perry, if I knew that I would have an evening with him, you know.
You know what she's doing? She's trying to get filthy.
Larry, I want you to have some manners, please.
Mother, you're being filthy.
I want you to have some manners.
Hold on, Larry, if you just hold on for a minute.
You want to hold what?
Who's being filthy now? I would vote for Rick Perry if I knew I had an evening, if I could have an evening.
And if you could have an evening with Rick Perry. So it's got nothing to do with his politics.
It has nothing to do with although I'm glad he's a Republican. I would not want an evening.
Mother, you're talking...
Larry, you're being very rude. And Larry, I want you to...
She's being filthy.
Would you, Larry, hold on, okay?
So I would vote for Rick Perry if I knew I'd have a night with him. And it sounds like something that you wouldn't expect a lady to say. But given the fact that he's a liar...
Or do you think that Rick Perry's a liar?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's a liar. He said that he wouldn't... He's giving tuition money to them. He's a liar. I don't even think he's a conservative. He was a Republican. You know, he was a Democrat at one time.
That's true. He was a Democrat.
Shut. He was a Democrat at one time. And,
all right, well, Mrs. Grover, I need to get talking to Larry.
Well, you think I'm silly, don't you? You think I'm a silly old woman, don't you, that I want to... But I'm telling you the truth. I would vote for Rick Perry if I had one full night. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And there was no sleep.
Don't be filthy, Mother.
Larry, the filth is in your mind. Because there's nothing filthy about the honest feelings that people have.
I know, but you're saying a full night with Rick Perry? That can only mean one thing.
Well, of course it only means one thing.
And well, I guess that's what you're talking about.
Yes, Mr. Hendry understands that, Larry.
Mother, why do you say you've only got 3 years to live? That disgraces father's memory.
Your father was an alcoholic.
Shut up, Mother.
Don't you tell me. Now, I'm going to tell everyone the truth. Your father was an alcoholic, a womanizer. And do you know something, Larry? He put on my underwear without me asking, and he wore it to work.
You're a lying God, you lie.
No, I'm not lying.
All right, Mrs. Grover, this is unnecessary. We don't need to hear this. You've given me your opinions on
I needed to say it to Larry, though.
You can say that to Larry off the air.
You lie about my father like that?
You know, Larry, I can see so much of your dad in you. And
Mrs. Grover, we need to get back to the show.
Just one more thought. I can see so much of your father in you. And I've been missing underwear for 5 years, and I'm betting money.
Don't you? I've never taken any of your underwear.
I've been missing underwear for 5 solid years. Don't you lie to me.
And I don't wear it. How dare you?
I'm going to make some tea, Phil, and I'm going to sit down and watch. I love to watch the fringes.
I think, okay. Well, I think it's over now. But in any event, thank you very much.
I didn't mean to embarrass Larry.
Of course you meant to embarrass me.
I'm going to kick. I didn't mean to embarrass Larry.
All right. Thank you very much, Mrs. Grover. Larry?
You know something, Phil? I came on your program. My mother wanted to talk. I said, I'll let you talk. She comes on. She talks about my father wearing underwear, her underwear. She comes on and talks about him being an alcoholic. She says that she'd do Rick Perry. In other words, this is why I have the life that I have. Every time I try to crawl and claw my way up out of bankruptcy and claw my way back into the normal social circles that normal men circulate in, I've got mother there hanging on my leg, talking about women's underwear, talking about wanting to shag Rick Perry, talking about...
Okay, I understand. But, the fact is you brought up the whole thing about him being handsome, and...
Well, I didn't ask my mother to get on the phone and start discussing 6P to 6A and all of this. Well, Mother, what do you mean you weren't specific?
I didn't talk about any particular sex act.
Give me the phone, please. And so,
Larry, you came on and made an issue of Rick Perry being handsome. And because he's handsome, he can sell any garbage.
Exactly. And I believe it. And he's selling himself as a Tea Party candidate, even though he's given tuition money. I can't wait to see how the Tea Party people spin this one. So it feels right to them that they support Rick Perry. Because at the end of the day, Phil, and this is why I never did become a Tea Party member, I'm a conservative Republican, but I don't jump on that Tea Party bandwagon. And you want to know why? Because at the end of the day, those Tea Party people are just like everybody else. They stretch and they twist and they expand or contract their philosophy to accommodate or to take into consideration the moment. They're just as flip-floppy and compromising as anybody else. And that's the thing that it makes me want to throw up.
All right, Larry. Larry Grover with us here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk about Rick Perry and the statements in this debate that, not so much the statements of the debate, but the philosophy expressed and debated that his administration in Texas has given tuition money at a discount to illegal aliens. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's The Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, it's kind of interesting. We're talking here, Larry, about the Tea Party, and we're talking about the Tea Party. We're talking about a very significant break with, I guess, conservative policies when you hear of a... Not only is it a conservative policy or a conservative bit of philosophy not to provide tuition to illegal aliens, but when it's one that is practiced by a so-called Tea Party candidate, this is a pretty significant break with the conservative wing of the Republican Party. And people seem to be taking it in stride, though.
Who's taking it in stride?
I haven't read anything yet. I haven't read anything other than polls, you know.
Well, there you go. I mean, the polls show that Perry is done. If you look at the polls, there's got to be discussion about it. What are you going to talk about? Are you going to spend all day, and this is one of the reasons at least why I like to do your show, Phil, I'm not going to spend all day on some guy's talk show like I could have because I was invited on the Bert Kiesman show. I was invited on the other one. Who's the conservative out here in the Valley? Ray Gunder. I was invited on the Ray Gunder show, Bert Kiesman, Daly and Davis, all of those shows. And you want to know what they wanted to do? They said, well, let's forget about Perry. Let's start ripping Obama. And I said, no. No, I don't play that. Homie clown, don't play that. I said, we're going to get into the Perry, because if we're going to purify the Republican Party, purify the conservative concept of the Republican Party, then, by God, we've got to get right to where the rot is, right to where the mold and the stink is, and we've got to take a flamethrower to that. And why are you grabbing my arm? I wanted to say something. Mother!
Mrs. Grover, I want to talk to Larry.
I just want to say, since Larry brought up my desire to have sexual relations with Rick Perry.
Mother, would you, in the name of God, Mother, in the name of God!
Since Larry brought up my desire to have sexual relations with Rick Perry, Larry, do you know another use for vegetable oil?
She does that to shock. And
well, why don't you just get the phone away from her?
You do that to shock, don't you? So, in any event, what my my thinking has been all along... God, I hate her.
Larry, you know what? I'm gonna let you go, man.
No, that's all right.
No, when you start saying you hate your mother...
Well, why wouldn't you? God almighty.
When you say you hate your mother...
Oh, she's talking about wanting to have sex with Rick Perry. Do you know any other uses for vegetable oil? Yes, I do, Mother. I know what you're talking about. Listen to her. She's mad.
Okay, so you don't want to hang up. So anyway, Rick Perry and this philosophy, and he's really handsome.
And what do you mean he's really handsome?
That was what you brought up.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you that Rick Perry, to the extent that he has betrayed his standing as the Tea Party candidate, the polls are going down. He's done.
I never believed that that guy was going to be president of the United States. I never thought that Rick Perry was. I think, and it wasn't so much that he had this seeming oxymoronic position on giving tuition to illegal aliens. I think he comes off as a little batty, and I don't think he is, okay?
What do you mean batty?
He comes off a little goofy. I don't know how else to put it, but I think the cat comes off as a little quirky and a little batty. I mean, I think he's probably a very brilliant politician, but I think there's something about the guy that makes a lot of people nervous, you know?
Mike?
Mitt Romney?
Yeah, Mitt Romney doesn't.
No, not to the extent that Perry does. Mitt Romney is a normal, he's way more normal than Rick Perry. So I would say this, I would say to you, I think it's lucky that that this happened. I think it's lucky that it happened now. I think it's lucky that the polls are beginning to show.
Well, that means there's no Tea Party candidate. There's no real conservative candidate. And that means that, and Ron Paul, by the way, you know, Ron Paul, once they put him up front and center, he's got problems. They'll rip him an ass. There's not one conservative candidate that can get elected president of the United States, and that includes that guy, Ron Paul. Ron Paul's job is to run for president. He's never going to be elected. What he does is he purifies the argument. But if he ever got front and center on the national stage as the Republican candidate, they'd tear him to shreds because he's got more skeletons in his closet. And he'd make Mother and all of her very aberrant and exotic tastes seem normal. And then Michelle Bachmann is the same thing.
Well, then maybe there isn't... whatever it is you consider to be a Tea Party person, maybe it doesn't exist. 877...
What do you mean, maybe it doesn't exist?
Well, maybe it's not possible. I mean, if it's possible, if the Tea Party philosophy is possible and people like it, then why can't they find a candidate who is, you know, attractive to voters?
Well, I think they did with Perry.
Yeah, but he ain't a Tea Party guy. That's what you just said. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to go to San Diego. Dr. Jim Sadler is checking in with us here tonight. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program. Thank you. And I wanted to talk to the gentleman. Your name is I'm sorry, Phil.
Larry Grover.
My name is Larry Grover, I would think. Have you been listening to the program?
Yes, sir. I've been listening to the program very carefully, and I've been enjoying it, and I've been enjoying your conversation with Mr. Henry very much.
You don't know my name.
Well, I'm sorry, but it did bypass my attention. I apologize for that.
Because I'm already having a bad day. And
all right, Larry. You know.
Let me, Phil, if I could talk to your guest a moment here. My name is Dr. Jim Sadler. And
okay, are you a head shrinker?
Well, yes, I am.
And why do you talk? Well, never mind.
You want to know about my speech impediment?
Yes, I did.
It was a lion taming accident.
A lion taming accident?
Yes, it was. And I lost part of my tongue.
You lost part of your tongue in a lion taming accident.
Yeah, I did. You want to get graphic? We can go. I just heard your mother. Apparently, she likes to go down that road. We can head down that road.
What do you want, Mother?
I want to ask the doctor. This is Mother Grover.
Yes, Mrs. Grover.
Have you ever heard the term taking a run down to Dirty Pete's Lake?
Yes, I have, Mrs. Grover. The reason why I called Phil was the dynamic between this gentleman and his mother.
Uh-huh.
I find it very interesting. There is obviously a very seductive relationship that goes on between mother and son. And
what is that? What's that crack supposed to mean?
Well, it's not a crack, sir. There is a relationship that you have with your mother in which you take the place almost of a boyfriend. You're not really a son, you're a boyfriend. And
what is that supposed to mean? Who is this guy? Does this guy call your show regularly, Phil?
Hold on, he's a psychiatrist, okay?
And I need my head shrunk.
Well, I think so. If your mother's talking about sleeping with Rick Perry and what vegetable oil is, other uses for it.
Oh, and she's not using it with me. That's the thing. I'm not using any vegetable oil with
Phil
my mother.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, come on.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our pitch, and we go through the looking glass and beyond to places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Now, Don Berman is going to be joining us here in a moment. We almost have a backlog of guests, Bud. Who else?
Well, we probably got Mr. Bobby Dulich. You want to talk about Obama and a cylinder, or not a cylinder, but cylindrar, something like that. And then David Hall is going to call and want to talk about, you guys said Jungle Bunny.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Not my fault.
I told him, I said I knew you were joking around.
I didn't even say it. Those mice, that nut, that Dean Wheeler, is out of his mind. When's he going to call?
I don't know. He said he was going to call because he's going to talk about it and everything.
That's ridiculous. Is Mr. Berman on the line?
Yeah, I'm going to call him up right now. He's at a restaurant.
Yeah, he said to call him at a restaurant. He's out on a date, but he said he wouldn't want to come on. He said he had a couple of drinks, but he also said that...
All right, you guys don't have to give me his life story, okay? He's at a restaurant, he's on a date, he's had a couple of drinks, but he still wants to come on a show.
Yeah, that's what I think, but I'm not sure.
What are you eating anyway?
Ice cream sundae.
Yeah, you want one?
No, how could I have an ice cream sundae when I'm on the air? Where'd you guys get those?
Yeah, man, a vending machine that they put in.
Oh, that's right. They look pretty good, huh?
Yeah, pretty good. Now, you know, you can sprinkle some of these nuts on them, you get a little package of nuts.
Well, anyway, 877-876-PHIL.
Man, you don't want me eating it in front of you? Look at this.
I'll cut it out, Bud. Will you?
Look what's in my mouth.
Shut up. Don't eat that and open your mouth.
Oh, we'll get a banana, man. Open my mouth after you eat a banana.
No, don't do that. My kid's sister used to do that. It used to make me sick. Speaking of getting sick, though, that actually is not a bad segue. That I don't mean that sincerely. I mean, I don't mean getting sick. I mean, we love having Don Berman on the line. He is the Emmy-winning anchor of Channel 19 News and talking to us from Duff's tonight in the Wilshire Corridor in Los Angeles. You've just gotten off the air, huh, Don?
Yes, well, we did the 10 o'clock report this evening, and we also did our 5 and our 6, and I'm relaxing here at Duff's. Talking to Bob Berger, the owner, and having a cocktail after work, and just an enjoyable night. And it's good to end the week, and it's great certainly to be employed in a very difficult economy. But as a newsman and as a proponent of public service, we're doing everything that we can, Phil, to inform our viewers. To try and help people through these difficult times.
Well, Don, I wanted to talk to you about the new series that you guys are starting on obesity. Now, you know that I have been battling myself not so much obesity, but, you know, losing weight.
Well, it is obesity that you're battling. And
okay, thanks a lot. You know?
Well, no, I'm not saying you're I'm not saying you're morbidly obese. I'm not saying that. And
I've lost 30 pounds.
Oh, well, hold on for a minute. Hey, man lost 30 pounds. Got a young lady with me here. I don't know if you know Carol from our news department. She's one of our interns. Do you want to talk to her?
No, I don't want to talk to her. I want to talk to you.
I'm sorry. All right. He wants to talk to me.
You know, Don, this is a serious discussion, so if you want to get, if you don't mind me saying, if you want to ask Carol, maybe she,
Hold on for a minute. I know what you mean, Phil. Here's $10. Go buy yourself a hat. No powder your nose, huh? Get lost. Get lost.
I didn't mean for you to be rude to her.
Don't worry about it. Here's another $10. Powder your nose a second time. You got it, baby. Phil, no, I didn't mean to say that you are...
Boy, that was kind of rude, wasn't it?
What?
The way you talked to that girl.
Oh, she liked it.
All right, so... Yeah, the series that you're doing, which will start when, Monday?
Yeah, our series is starting on Monday, Phil, and we're not only attacking and reporting on the reasons why people are obese. Why do we gain the weight that we gain, and why can't we get it off? And a lot of this has to do, of course, with age. When we're younger, we lose weight much quicker. When we are younger, we can go on a diet for a couple, three months, but maybe a month. We can drop that 10 pounds, or we can drop that 15 pounds in a couple of months. We exercise and so forth. The older you get, the more difficult it is to lose this weight. But it always, always, always comes down to what it is you're eating, what kind of food are you eating, what are you putting into your system, are you eating lots of proteins, are you on a low-carb diet? There are different philosophies, as you know.
Right.
What we're going to do beginning Monday night is not only report on the propensity of people to overeat and the propensity of people to become obese at different stages of their life, and what they might do in terms of changing their diet, we're going to do something else that has never been done before in the history of television news. And it is proactive. It is a reaching out to the community. We're very proud of it, Phil, and we're very proud of the work, as you know, that we've done at Channel 19 News over the years. But this is a first. As you know, the 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock hours of our news occur during drive time. And when we say drive time, we mean people are in their cars.
Right.
We are going to, during those drive time hours, which are also the hours that people do tend to sit down and have dinner, particularly the 6 o'clock hour, we are going to report throughout that 6 o'clock, to a lesser extent the 5 o'clock, but throughout the 6 o'clock hour, we are going to do the bulk of our traffic reporting with a special emphasis on injury and fatality accidents. Now, hear me out. The reason why is because as people sit down to eat their dinner and they've just had the news on, or they may be watching the news as they're eating their dinner. As you know, many people have televisions and television sets and so forth in their kitchens.
And a lot of people for breakfast, yeah.
Yeah, many people have the early morning TV on in the kitchen. While people are eating their dinner, we are going to show fatality accidents. And the idea is that this will be a little bit stressful to watch. It'll be a little bit difficult to sit down and eat a meal when you see the kind of sometimes very gruesome...
Well, what are you going to show? I mean, this is television.
It is television. But we are going to do something that hasn't been done before. We're going to as much of our ability as we can, to the extent that we can on over-the-air broadcast television, we are going to show as much as we can of the actual particulars of the injury, even if it's just a blood spatter or a blood pool.
Oh, God.
I know. It's never been done before.
And well, are you saying that it's never been done before at the dinner table? Or?
No, what we're talking about, Phil, is if we can show gore. And I think you know what I mean by gore.
Well, you're talking about body parts.
No, not body parts, but the flesh.
you're going to show automobile accidents during the dinner hour in the hopes that people don't feel like eating.
That is exactly right. It has never been done before, as I've mentioned. I don't want to keep overselling that, but this is what sets Channel 19 News apart. The fact that we're willing to go the extra mile. The fact that we're willing to take chances.
Now, what about people who are relatives of the individuals in these accidents?
No, we're not going to identify anyone. We're not going to show anyone's face. We're not going to show any license plates. We're simply going to say there was this fatality accident on the 405. And one of the things that we're going to do is, and some people may think that this is a bit underhanded. I don't. We're going to encourage people in our 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock promos, sit down, have some dinner with Channel 19 News. We're going to give you the weather reports. We're going to tell you about sports. We'll give you the news. So a great time to enjoy Channel 19 News is during your dinner hour. Okay. So that gets people to sit down. And then, within 15 to 20 minutes, we start with our accident, fatality, and injury reporting.
And now, what about people that are listening to you and I right now? They're hearing your philosophy on how you're going to get people at the television set, how you're going to get people to watch, and how you're going to get people not to eat by showing fatality accidents. In other words, they have been the curtain has been raised. They know what you got in mind.
That's the interesting thing about television and radio, Phil. The selective listening of the viewer and the listener is such that even though I can say to someone right now, on Monday night at 5 o'clock, we're going to show a gory accident on TV that will make you not want to eat your dinner. On Monday night, people will have forgotten. And
okay, I've heard you say that before. Why do you say that?
They will have forgotten and they will still... Why do I say that?
Yeah.
Because it's been proven in research that people are very selectively listening. I can tell people right now what we're going to do on television. That's not important to them. What they want to know about is, how did the Dodgers do? How did the Yankees do? How did the Red Sox do? They want to know what the weather is going to be like in the mountains or in the ocean or wherever they live. They want to know what things that pertain to them. Don Berman and what I've got in mind for them on Monday night at 5, that doesn't matter a ripple in a toilet bowl, Phil, if you'll pardon my French. That doesn't matter a ripple in an S bowl. People only care about themselves. And what Don Berman is cooking up for them at 5 o'clock on Monday will come like a freight train right through their front door. They'll never know what hit them.
All right, Don, let's talk a little bit more about this.
I'd love to.
Don Berman from Channel 19 News and what they've got planned, as he said, what he's cooking up for the viewers on Monday is the following scenario. That they're going to be showing in the 5 and 6 o'clock hours of the news fatality and injury accidents on the news so that it will put people off of their dinner. And why are they doing that? As part of an ongoing report on obesity in America and helping people to lose weight. It's a very ambitious, I think is the word I'm looking for, a very ambitious marrying of news, public service, health, you name it. And there's a little bit of almost a vicious manipulation. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So we'll be back in just a moment here to talk about this more with Don Berman from Channel 19 News and The Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's The Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And on the line with me tonight is Don Berman from Channel 19 News, live from Duff's restaurant in the Wilshire Corridor in Los Angeles. I'm going to move this fan, bud.
Hey.
Hey, Don, you with me?
I am, Phil. Hold on for a minute. I got Gerald, one. Yeah. Here's another 10 spot. Go buy yourself a hat. Get out of here. Quit bothering me, okay? I'm on the radio. Go ahead, Phil.
But, you know, that the way you're talking to that girl...
It's not your problem. It's not your problem. Take it easy. Phil,
let me say this. I don't want to make myself seem obnoxious to your listeners. You know, I've been in television for a long time, and what comes with the territory is a certain notoriety. I didn't get into television because I wanted people to recognize me. I get into television because I wanted to be a newsman, and I wanted to help communicate. But one of the side benefits, people recognize me. And Carol came to work at Channel 19 News as an intern because she wanted to work for me. And we became very friendly, and I invited her for cocktails one night, and she acquiesced. And we've since then become friends. She recognizes that I'm on the radio with you tonight, and she's still bothering me for a 50 spot or a 10 spot. She wants to go and... I don't know what she's doing. I mean, we're not in a... This is not a casino or anything, so I don't know what she's doing, but...
All right, I think you've explained enough of that.
I'm not trying to be obnoxious.
Well, it comes off a little obnoxious when you say, buy yourself a hat or get lost.
Phil, I'm sorry if it's not your life. You know.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm sorry if you're a little bit... people are going to hear us arguing.
No, I don't want anybody to hear us arguing, okay? And I don't care whether it's my life or not. I'm perfectly happy doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, right.
I'm perfectly happy doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, Don, let's grow up a little bit, okay?
All right. I mean, if you want your listener to hear you say, I'm perfectly happy doing what I'm doing, and they're going to want them to believe that, fine. Bill's perfectly happy doing what he's doing.
All right, well, then you don't have to make an issue out of it. Like, I'm not happy doing what I'm doing.
Okay, I won't say anything. I'm at a restaurant. I've got a young lady here. She asked me for $10. I told her I'm on the radio with you. I asked her to get lost and quit bothering me. And that's what she did.
All right, let's get back to what the report's all about. The report that you're doing starting on Monday is about helping us with our health, with particular attention paid to obesity.
That is correct, yes.
All right. Are you going to be doing any actual reporting on weight?
In what sense? What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, are you going to have doctors on?
No, we're not going to talk. What we want to do, Phil, is we want to step right into the kitchens of America, we want to step right into the larder of America, into the grocery shopping of America. We want to be right there with Mom or with Dad when he is in the supermarket. We want to attack the issue of weight loss for the very first time in history from the standpoint of being a member of that family, of being a member of your family. So you can get doctors on, and you can get nutritionists. You can get any number of people that will tell you, well, this many calories and that many carbs and this much protein. We've had all the diets. What we're talking about now is habit. We're talking about the size of meals. And
all right, well, if you would mind, what is going to be what will constitute the report?
Well, the report on what?
On weight loss.
Well, we're going to start our hour, and we're going to say, this hour, we're going to be attacking issues of weight, and we're going to be talking about issues of overeating and issues of fat and so forth. So stick around for our report. We'll go into our news. We'll say, as you know, there have been there's a lot of traffic out on the freeways tonight. Let's go, and we generally go over to Bill Flowers or Don Dakotian. And I, by the way, Bill, I've got the clearance on this from Sal Bolicelli. And
Bolicelli.
Bolicelli, boy, that is so disappointing that you just said that, because that his name is Sal Bolicelli. He's our general manager. And
yeah, but it sounded like bowl of chili. I'm sorry.
Right. And you think that's the first time I've heard that? Phil?
What?
Do you think it's the first time I've heard bowl of chili as it pertains to...
No, I guess not.
Right, it's not. And it's very disappointing to hear you interrupt me with bowl of chili like I've been interrupted by seventh graders, by children in a home for mental problems. You wouldn't believe where I've heard bowl of chili, and now I've heard it on your show. And it's a little disappointing.
Well, Don, I'm really sorry. I didn't know the name of your general manager was Sal Bolicelli.
It's not bowl of chili. It is Bolicelli. All right?
Yeah, that's fine. It's the first time I ever heard it. I don't know why we're getting into an argument here.
Well, you're starting out. You're giving me a thing about this, the girl asking me for money. And then you're saying, well, are you, you know, you're giving me a little pushback.
And I don't want to give you pushback, but I want to ask and answer questions here. And
what do you mean you want to ask and answer questions?
I want to ask the questions. You can answer them. And if I happen to take a side trip on some cat's name, don't get weird on me.
Well, the fact is that you're not the first cat to ask me about bowl of chili.
I'm sorry if it irritates you. I apologize. The guy's got a funny-sounding name. Would you agree with that?
Maybe back when I first went to work for him, yes. That was 6 years ago when Don took over the job here. Or Sal, I mean. My name is Don. God.
Boy, you are in trouble. Man, you're not the first guy tonight, though, that has been calling this show with all kinds of emotional baggage.
I got no emotional baggage. I got no emotional baggage. The guy's name is Sal Bolicelli. He's my general manager. And if I hear bowl of chili one more time, I'm gonna self-mutilate. That's how much it bothers me.
Okay, then we'll get off that topic, because I don't want you to do that. The question that I have is, how are these reports on weight loss, how will they be constituted?
How are the reports on weight loss going to be constituted? It's almost like you're talking about broth. Or
How are you going to do these reports?
I'm going to come on at the top of the hour, and we're going to say this hour we're going to be talking with you about all the things I mentioned. And then I'll say we're going to Bill Flowers and Don Nikodian in the Channel 19 traffic watch copter. And hopefully they will have found some kind of an accident where there has been some injury. We're not going to show anybody's face. We're not going to show any of the license plates. But hopefully we're going to have an accident where there has been an injury, real injury, that we can get a visual of. And then we put that on the screen, and basically we're saying, go ahead, have a nice dinner.
Okay, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show, back with Don Berman in a moment.
Phil Hendry.
God, with the questions.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Doing what?
Don Berman is with us from Channel 19 News right now. He's talking to one of the guys are you on the phone?
No, I got Don Nikodian's right here, and Don is one of our traffic reporters. All I'm trying to do, Phil, is for the purposes of our interview here this evening, is get the name of our traffic copter, because what we're going to do in the 5 o'clock hour is we're going to have the traffic copter reporting on these fatality accidents. So what's the name of it, Don? Traffic copter cop watch. I don't understand that. Who did?
Yeah.
So Sal Bolicelli called it that. All right.
Well, we've got Sal. Is that who that is, Bud?
Yeah, Mr. Sal Bolicelli on the phone.
What did he say?
We got Sal Bolicelli on the phone.
Well, let me talk to him.
Mr. Bolicelli.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I heard that Don was on the phone. I wanted to talk to him. And
Sal, this is Don Berman. How are you?
I'm very good, Don.
Sal, we have a little bit of a situation, and here is what it is. We're on the air right now. I want you to know we're on the air right now.
I understand it.
Sal, the name of the copter.
Now, they call it copter. The thing I want to call it was the traffic watch. Traffic copter cop watch.
Traffic copter cop watch?
No, not cop. Traffic copter cop watch. That what you're doing is you're looking at the traffic, and you're looking at a cop. You look at the traffic's in the cop. Wherever the cop is, you're going to see a lot of traffic, you know. And it was my idea that if we call a traffic report that, then you're seeing the police, you know. And it's very important. I think people want to know that the police are on the scene.
Right.
And they want to know that the police are handling the situation. So I said to this guy, Nikodian, is the guy?
Don Nikodian is here, as a matter of fact.
Nikodian's there?
Yeah.
You with us?
Yeah.
It must be nice.
Yeah, I don't...
Well, I said I could.
Yeah, that's okay. Here's Phil, thank you very much for having us on your program. Here's what I was going to say. I got Don, he's going to do this report. Now, I have the traffic copy cop watch. He said that Travis got the cop watch like I'm looking at a cop, that somebody's playing with a cop. I'm not doing that. Like, Travis got the cop watch and look at a cop. So what I want to do is, had a cop reporting, or had the traffic report, you see the cop, you know there's a fatality action, you just get some kind of an injury action, something like that.
Right.
And so we report on this. And that's why I call it that. A lot of these guys will call it...
Channel 5's news copter, you know?
I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that.
We don't Channel 5. We don't care about Channel 5.
No, I'm not interested in that. I care about Channel 5. I don't got, you know... Channel 5, they don't pay my rent. Channel 5 didn't pay my rent, you know. They've been living on their laurels a long time over at Channel 5. I'm going to say, when I get done with Channel 5, you know, you don't want to know. Let me just say, you don't want to know. So what I want to do is, I'll look up my own traffic copter. You understand that?
No, I understand. I was just looking at the different names of the different TV stations call, you know, what is it, Channel 4's Newswatch.
I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn about Channel 4's Newswatch. I don't give a damn about Channel 5 or Channel 13. The only thing I give a damn about... Is the traffic got the cop watch? We do it on Channel 19, see? So I'm going to send Don out there, and we get a fatality. But I don't want to hear you talk about a cop, that I got a cop wedge. You tell him I'm playing with a cop or something.
No, I didn't say you're playing with a cop. I said that I didn't particularly like the idea, because it sounded like Channel 19 traffic copter cop watch. So that while we're looking for traffic, if we don't have any traffic, we've just got a cop wedged, you know?
I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, but you understand that people could think it's Cobb.
Who's going to think it's Cobb? Who's going to think that?
Yeah, who's going to think that? Except a dirty mind, yeah? You know, the dirty minds. Those are the only people going to think of it.
All right, I mean, I just...
What's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life?
Look, Bill, he's my boss. Don't go licking his rear end and trying to get...
I'm not licking his rear end.
Well, ever since he got on the line.
No, look, Don, I love you. But Phil's making a good point. You know, I'm not going to call it a cop watch. It's a ridiculous, it's a childish thing. It's very childish.
All right, well, I'm the guy that's got to say it.
I know, and you're going to do the very best job you can, because you're an Emmy Award?
Yeah, Emmy Award. How long have you owned TV stations?
I've owned TV stations a long time. But I'm just saying, you got an Emmy Award and all this, and you know how to sell it, and you're very good, and Phil's just asked me a question. I'm not sure nobody's getting no personal here, you know?
I know.
You know, you're getting like a, don't want to be childish about this, I'm just saying. You know, nobody's going to say cop watch. It's ridiculous, you know. It's a traffic copter cop watch.
So if I could ask you, Sal.
Yeah.
So, traffic copter cop watch, you're kind of out there looking at the traffic, and you're looking at how the cops are dealing with it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't look at the cops. And see, my feeling is that traffic is not interesting unless there's cops. Because all you got is like a traffic jam, you know. But if you have a cop someplace, you know, the cop is there, they get the lights going, maybe somebody had a wreck, maybe they're trying to do a traffic stop, maybe they're doing a traffic, what do they call it, traffic break? What do you call it, Don? When a cop goes back, what, a traffic break?
Called a traffic break.
Yeah. Got to do a traffic break, that kind of thing, you know. Traffic cop to cop watch.
All right. So they won't...
They ain't going to think cop. Oh, my God, you are sick.
I'm not saying cop.
Thanks very much, Sal.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I appreciate that.
Sal, thank you.
I'd rather you call me Mr. Bocelli, if you don't mind.
Who are you talking to?
You.
Talking to Don Berman?
Yeah, I'm talking to Don Berman. Don, I love you, but I'd rather you call me Mr. Bocelli. Mr. Henry could call me Sal.
Why is that?
That's really something I don't want you to ask me about. Oh, boy. Don't ask me, but don't embarrass me. I'm on a national radio. Don't embarrass me.
Well, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but why does he get to call you Sal and I got to call you Mr. Bocelli?
Because I like the way you say it. Because you say it good. You correct people when they butcher my name up. I like that. I like that about you. You say my name good.
Right, but I mean, I'm having to call you Mr. Bocelli and...
Don't argue with me. You know, you're arguing?
Sorry.
Don't argue with me. Don't ever argue with me. You embarrass me. Now, just get out there, do the traffic, cut the cop watch. Show out all that stuff you were saying to me. You know, and have a good time. Huh? Have a good time. I want you to have a good time.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, come on. Don't be a baby.
Don't be a baby, Don.
Why don't you shut up?
You're telling Mr. Henry to shut up on his show? You're telling a man to shut up on his own show? What's the matter with you?
Well, what's the matter with you? Mr. Bocelli, I'm awfully sorry.
You're sorry? Yeah, you bet you're sorry. I want you to tell you sorry to Mr. Henry what you said. I said I want you to say you're sorry to Mr. Henry what you said on his show.
I'm sorry, Phil.
It's all right.
Can't tell a guy to shut up on his own show? I'd smack you across the face, you know, if I had, you know, if I was that kind of a guy, that's what I'd do. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, sir. Well, I mean, you know.
Well, you mean what? What are you going to tell me?
Nothing. I'm just saying he's the boss, so whatever he says goes, right?
Yeah, he is the boss, and whatever he says does go. You're right. But let me tell you a little story, Don. I mean, Phil. God.
My name is Phil. You made a mistake.
Forget it.
You made a mistake.
Forget it. Hello?
Yes?
Is this your phone?
It belongs to Mr. Berman. Is he there?
Mr. Berman?
Give me the phone. I'll take it.
Dropped it in my blender.
I dropped it in the guy's blender.
What, the bartender?
Yes. Look, the point is, a long time ago, I started in the broadcasting business. What do you want? I gave you $10. Get lost. And don't tell me to not treat the lady like that, Phil. I've had about enough of all I can take right now. A long time ago, I started in broadcasting. All I ever wanted to do was be a broadcaster. Now I've got this guy, Mr. Bolicelli. You know what he was doing 5 years ago? Do you know what he was doing 5 years ago? Siding. And he did drywall. He was a subcontractor. Construction subcontractor.
Okay.
Now he's telling me about the cop watch or the cop watch.
You know, he's listening to this right now.
I don't care. Anyway, on Monday, we're going to be on the air. I'm going to say, and we're going to tell you about weight loss. And then I hope and pray that the traffic copter cop watch is going to find an accident someplace, somehow, somewhere.
I think he's back on the phone.
Oh, gee. Well, I'm going to talk to Don. Don, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with me. You're disrespecting me when I get off the air. You're disrespecting me. I said that you can call it the cop to watch. You can call it anything you want. Don't disrespect me. You know, you're coming on here.
Look, I'm going to take a break, you guys. You've got stuff that, you know, put them on hold, will you?
Yeah, but that guy Bolicelli, he may think you're disrespecting him.
Oh, shut up, will you? Put them on hold, and if I get back to them, I do, and if I don't, I don't. Nonetheless, watch the Channel 19 News on Monday for more. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to let Don and his boss work things out. Maybe they can work things out, you know. I just...
You know, Kemp, we can call Mr. Bolicelli.
I don't want to hear that Bolicelli guy. He sounds like he's some kind of a basket case, too. Good luck, Don. You're going to need it. So Ted Haggard's life was already sort of a reality show, according to the Colorado Springs Gazette. Now it's official. Producers of Celebrity Wife Swap confirmed on Wednesday the former New Life church pastor and his wife, Gail, will appear in the new ABC reality series in which they will swap partners without sex with actor Gary Busey and his partner and baby mama Stephanie Sampson. Now, this show is actually, I like this show, Celebrity Wife Swap.
You do? Why?
I just think it's cool. I mean, they've had some really interesting wife swaps. They've done this. What they do, if you don't know the show, is, this is called Celebrity Wife Swap, but in the show that I saw was just basically wife swap. It'll be like two couples, okay?
Yeah.
And they're completely the opposite. Like, in the one of the ones that I saw was this kind of peacenik family from Minnesota, and their whole trip with their kids was, well, you know, we don't let them have, like, war game toys and all this good stuff, And we let them do all kinds of whack art. I mean, it's really kind of open. I don't know what you would call it or anything.
Kind of hippy-dippy.
Sort of hippy-dippy, yeah. And then the other family, they were military family. They came from a military background. The father, the husband, is a military guy. And they're conservative, and they respect the flag and stuff like that. And so these two wives go into these opposite homes. It's fascinating. It was just fascinating. And it also, depending upon your point of view, you know, you're rooting for or rooting against these different people, and in this case, the women. So I really found it to be really an interesting show. And I can well imagine. And if you take a look at this one, this is exactly, it's made to order. You got Ted Haggard's wife, who is the wife of a minister. Now, Ted Haggard, by virtue of the fact that he's doing this show, he's not a traditional preacher, you know?
What?
Well, what traditional preacher is going to do celebrity wife swap?
Well, but you said they're not going to have no sex.
Well, they're not having sex, but what traditional preacher is going to go... Well, I shouldn't have said that. What traditional preacher is going to go on TV?
Yeah, you kidding me, man? You show me a TV camera, man, there's going to be a preacher around it.
Yeah. Preacher man always like to be on a TV.
Preacher man. Anyway.
That's what they're called.
Oh, is that what they're called? Preacher man? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, ain't they do that?
Oh, man, they call a preacher man, call him a preacher.
Yeah, what about that song, the Preacher Man?
Oh, who gives a crap about a song called The Preacher Man? The fact is that they're non-traditional. I disagree with you, bud. Okay?
Well, you sound like you got some mental retardation. You're all, do, 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 do. Do you know what you want to say?
Shut up. So he's not a traditional guy, Ted Haggard. Now, I've been following this guy sort of off and on because I find him to be I like this guy, this Ted Haggard. I like him. There were a couple of movies done, a couple of documentaries done about him by this filmmaker whose name totally escapes me, but she's the daughter of Nancy Pelosi. Now, forget about the fact that she's the daughter of Nancy Pelosi, because that's got nothing to do with it. She's a filmmaker, but she just happens to be the daughter of this woman. I can't remember her name. But anyway, she did a couple of movies about Ted Haggard. And one of them was the immediate fall of Ted Haggard when it was uncovered that he had a male prostitute friend that he had been, I think, he'd been snorting meth with and doing other naughty things, you know. And then she did a second film where now he has been thrown out of the church and he's trying to start his life. It was really interesting because in the second film, All of the controversy's over with now. He's been pitched out on his ass. He's on his own. His wife is still with him. They've moved out of the house that they had. I guess they give them a house, you know, if you're a... and this church that he built was... And I do believe it was one that he built. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. It was a multi-million dollar church. And now his own church has kicked his ass out. Which is always kind of, it's always interesting, isn't it? Well, now we'll take it from here, Ted. Goodbye. You know, out you go. And yeah, you know, I mean, I can dig it. If you have certain things that you expect certain things. I'm not saying that I'm not all that quick to bash religion as some people are. Like atheists, I always feel atheists are really not so much atheists as they are anti-Christian. That's what there's God knows there's plenty to criticize Christianity about. Well, there's plenty to criticize Christian church about anyway. So I'm not knocking that, but I've always found atheists to be kind of phony baloney because it's not atheism really isn't what it's about. They just don't like Christianity because they got a problem with God because it crapped all over them when they were kids, something like that. Anyway, so Ted Haggard now in the second movie, the guy is just he's a wasted poor bastard. Boy, this guy. And the movie picks up with the funniest line. He's out hitting golf balls on a driving range and the filmmaker says to him, "So Ted, what happened to all your friends? You know, all these wonderful friends that you had." He goes, "Yep, they're gone." He said, "Man, the last time we had the camera on you, dude, you had all these friends. Yeah, well, they're gone now." So the movie then continues on into his life. And what is he going to do? How is he going to make a living? He takes a job doing some kind of canvassing or sales. And he's on the road like 5 days out of the week. And there's a scene where he's laying there in his bed in the hotel room. And he's just the most pathetic looking guy you ever saw in your life. Okay. So he's not a very traditional guy, you know.
Well, that's going to let him take pictures of him like that.
Well, I mean, you know, I thought it was rather interesting that he would open his life up like that. And he did. He opened his life up, and he talks about the one thing in the movie and the one thing about Ted Haggard that I think everyone agrees on, whether the guy is a good preacher or not, I don't know. Whether the guy is a holy man or not, I don't know. I don't think he's a bad man. I think he is a guy that really thinks being gay is a mental problem. And if he does certain things, he'll stop being gay. He's like, in my opinion, he's like Michelle Bachmann's husband. You know, it's just something that they battle every day. Now, you listening to me right now, any guy out there that's listening to me that's straight or gay, and you totally know that what you are, you don't battle anything. You are what you are. Yeah, I'm not battling any feelings. The only feeling I'm battling is the fact that I've been divorced for 6 years, and basically I'm just walking around a house in my bare feet. There's no woman in my life. And I'd like to give my number out at the end of the...
You better not do that.
Oh, I'm kidding around. So anyway, you know, but you're not battling anything. But Ted Haggard and a lot of guys like him, and you feel sorry for these guys. I mean, I feel sorry for this cat because he really is... No, I'm not gay. I know that I did those things, and I know that I went down that road, and that's a bad road that I went down. There's no question about that. And, you know, I'm trying to get back to my wife, and I'm trying to get back to my life. But Ted, you're gay. You don't think so? No, I'm not. I know that I've done some things that would make people think that I am. You know what? The guy is like totally in denial. So the movie was really interesting. So now I see this wife swap thing. This is going to be good. Because look at this. He's going to be living with the wife or girlfriend of some gonzo freaking actor like Gary Busey. I mean, imagine living with that cat. It's like morning, noon, and night. You're in the middle of a freaking, I don't know what, man. Like you're in the House of Mirrors or something. And then his wife is going to be living with Gary Busey.
I got money that says she'll sleep with Gary Busey.
Oh, you're an idiot, okay?
I bet you she'll think it's the best thing ever happened to her.
You're an idiot. They're not even going to let him do that.
How do they keep him from doing it?
Well, they ain't going to do it on TV. Why would you say that, bud?
I think that'd be funnier than hell if she goes... Yeah, I want to go to bed with Gary Busey and stuff.
Well, maybe Busey's old lady is going to try to make Ted Haggard straight. I don't know. You know?
You can't do that, though.
You know that, and I know that. Maybe Busey's old lady don't know it. We'll be back next hour to world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You think she's going to sleep with him?
Bet you she does.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yes, it's the Phil Hendry Show here. There's El Pacifico right behind me here. If you're watching on Phil TV in HD, what a night, man. We had on Don Berman arguing with his boss, Sal Boicelli, or whatever the hell his name is.
No, it's Boicelli.
Well, he gave me a bunch of crap because...
No, you said Boicelli.
I know, I said Boicelli. I was joking.
Yeah, no, it's Boicelli.
Boicelli.
No.
Get up to the microphone, bud.
All right, no. It's Boicelli, Boicelli.
What are you all of a sudden speaking Italian?
No, man, you got to do it right. Boicelli.
Boicelli.
No. You go.
Get out of here, will you? His name's Boicelli, as far as I'm concerned. So then we had Don, and we had some other whack situation there with Dr. Jim Sadler. Talking to, didn't we have Dr. Sadler checked in, didn't he? Oh, he was talking to Larry Grover, yeah.
Yeah, he's talking to Larry Grover because Larry Grover's got, he says that Larry Grover and his mom are doing it.
No, well, he didn't say that. He said there was some kind of a seductive mother thing going on there.
What's that?
Some psychological bullcrap I don't want to get into right now. So, and all Larry wanted to do was talk about Rick Perry and how Rick Perry in Larry's mind is a lion sack. Because this cat was, Perry was on that debate saying that he's given money to... See, I personally, I understand the thinking. The thinking is as follows. because these kids have been in this country for so many years, they are virtually Americans, and we have to do something to enhance, if you will, their ability to make it in this society, because they've sort of been in a twilight world a little bit, you know. Now, that's the thinking. Now, is it the right kind of thinking? I don't know. I'm not, I personally agree with that.
Yeah, but you do agree with that, so you'd be a liberal. You'd be like a liberal.
No, that don't make me a liberal, man. Understand something, bud. I've been trying to get you guys off this kick for a long time, you and Robert. Don't hear one opinion about something and say the guy's a liberal. Only idiots do that. You understand? Only imbeciles do that. Only imbeciles say, oh, this guy's opinion is that and that. That means he's a liberal. I have that opinion. Rick Perry is or was the love of the Tea Party, man. Oh, my God, that guy was the savior. Now, all of a sudden, he's laying tuition money on immigrants, and they think the guy is the Antichrist. I mean, what happened? I thought you guys were geniuses. Oh, yeah.
I did think it was big time.
Oh, sure. Rick Perry, he was the man. He's going to be next president of the United States. Now his poll numbers, as far as I've been told, he's going through the floor. Now you trying to tell me that was a big... And Grover coming on here and saying it was a big surprise. Yeah, sure.
Well, how's he supposed to know?
How's he supposed to know? Is that a serious question? If you're following a candidate, Jack, you say that you support that candidate, and you even go so far as to say the guy is a Tea Party guy, brother, you better know what that guy stands for. I'm telling you, some of these people, don't ever take them that serious, folks, because you can see how stupid they are. I don't mean stupid. I shouldn't say that. But you can see how confused. Then the guy calls, somebody called tonight, what about Ron Paul? Will you get off Ron Paul, if you'll pardon the expression? Get off Ron Paul, I mean that in a figurative sense.
Yeah, you don't mean like they're riding him.
I'm going to smack you in a minute. Ron Paul is never going to be elected president of the United States. If you want to keep on touting the guy, go ahead. It's fun. Poor Ron Paul. When he said what he said about Osama bin Laden in that one debate I watched, he said that, if Al-Qaeda said the reason why they killed us and butchered up our people is because we're there on their land. In other words, when a psychopath tells you, here's why I kill, generally you don't believe them. That's just a little bit of advice there. Representative Paul. Ron Paul is a very brilliant man when it comes to certain things. I think he breaks down economics. I think he's a traditionalist, if you want, a strict constructionist. There's all kinds of marvelous terms you can put on any individual at any given time. And people kind of get off on being called, oh, I'm a strict constructionist, constitutionalist, douchebaggerist. You know, that's what I am.
Douchebaggerist.
Or I'm a pacifist, liberal, progressive, this. What do you think, this is a religion or something, huh? Next thing you know, these guys are going to be walking around wearing beanies or something.
Yeah, probably go a beard long or something like that.
Yeah, with the curly cues.
Don't be anti-Semitic. But that's the way they treat this stuff. Now, Ron Paul and the people that support him, now I really think it's just a big joke. I think Ron Paul's candidacy has gone from very, very serious in 2008. Now it's sort of an absurd anarchist joke. You know, he's not going to be elected president. Everybody knows it, including Ron Paul. But the reason why he's in the race is to put forward his ideas. And he has enough name recognition, and he certainly has enough money whereby he can make a serious presentation of himself. And he say, hey, here I am. I'm Ron Paul. I'm running for president again. And here are my ideas. Now, such as they are. But the people that support him are these ideologically addicted people that sort of live in the bubble of that ideology, and they don't bust out of it to see how it affects the greater world. I'm not knocking Ron Paul. I'm sure that, you know, I believe that taxes ought to be slashed down to the bone when the time is right for that stuff. Man, I'm totally with that, you know. I don't know about that thing he said to me one time. He was on a show once. I said, how would you deal with those pirates?
Yeah, what he said about the pirates, something about a warrant?
Yeah, I said, how would you deal with those Somalia pirates? He said, well, there's something in the Constitution called a warrant, meaning that we could put a bounty out on them. As the United States could put a bounty out on these pirates, meaning we could pay another entity to go get them, to go and save that crew, if we wanted to. We didn't have to, but if we wanted to. We could you know, contract with another government, contract with another military, contract with another security entity of some kind, and pay them, and they would go out. It's called some kind of a warrant. It's in the Constitution. And Rick and Ron Paul, being a strict constitutionalist, that was his thing. Right now, I'm thinking of this, and I'm thinking, what lives are at stake? The clock is ticking. You've got these wild, harebrained cats that are ready to blow the brains out of somebody, and you're going to do what? You're going to start shopping for bounty hunters? Of course, I guess if you've got a, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you've done it before, you probably got, just pick the phone up. You know who to call.
Well, I mean, that's one way of doing it. And that means basically you pare back your military. So how much military do you need if you're doing stuff like that? I mean, the point is, you'd never sell that to the American people in a billion zillion years. Never. It may be a good idea. It might be the Constitution in the very strictest sense of the Constitution. But as you know and as I know, the Constitution is interpreted in relation to the society that we live in at any given time. This should be obvious to anybody who knows anything about the damn Constitution, right? You know,
what do you mean?
I mean, at one time it was cool to separate black people and white people according to the Constitution. Now all of a sudden it isn't. How do you like that? So,
as far as I'm concerned, you got to keep on doing it. Shut up!
Hey! I told you guys, man, you're always doing it.
I didn't do nothing.
You started that.
Talk about separating people on a railroad train?
What do you mean railroad train, man? I don't talk about that.
Shut up. So, Ron Paul he's flipped out, man. You know, he ain't flipped out. He's okay, but he ain't going to get elected president. It's not a snowball's chance now. Who does that leave?
Talk about Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann. I don't think people like looking at her, man. She's like a piece of ass or something like that, you know.
Watch your language, will you? Michelle Bachmann. Oh, God. And in any event, so she's the next one. Some people seem to think that, well, Michelle Bachmann, she hasn't got enough brains going. I mean, she's a smart person, but in terms of the practical application of her philosophy of life and politics and country, practically applying it to the country in general. This is why you often hear people pitching a whole lot of horse dung during a campaign. And then when they get to be president and they sit down and they see what the business of the country is all about, they very quickly change their tune, folks. And why do you think they do that? Because they weren't president. They didn't know what the job was. They're talking a whole bunch of smack, blah, 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 blah. Then they sit down, they get into the job, they take a look at it, they go, holy geez. We said this about Obama. I'll say this about anybody you want to talk about, man. They're going to get in and become president of the United States. Michelle Bachmann, all that crap that she's spewing, man, if she does one-tenth of that, if she were to become president of the United States, I'd be shocked. She's not going to be president. Nobody think. The problem with her is there's a perception of her that she's nuts.
Yeah, because of that magazine.
No, not because of the magazine. No, not because.
Well, but if you saw that magazine cover, man, they made her look like she's goofy as a March hare.
The magazine might have made her look that way, but I thought about her as being nuts long before that magazine came out, and so did a lot of other people. She's cracked. And there's trouble in River City, man, with her. Who's that leave? Rick Santorum? When I heard the answer that he gave to that gay soldier, that long, tortured, asinine social engineering is what this guy, you know, Santorum, you're a real disappointment, man. I used to hear you talking. Occasionally you made some sense. You're an idiot. You're just flat stupid, man. I don't like using that word, but brother, you are. And I don't know about this booing the gay soldier. I don't know if they booed the soldier or they booed the question.
They booed the soldier.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Well, if they booed that soldier, that's a disgrace. That tells you a lot right there. But again, this is just the conservative side of the ball, man. We go over to the liberal side, and there's a whole nightmare going on over there. That's Solyndra? Oh, my God.
What about that?
That is the end of the Obama administration. I hate to break the news. I'm sure other people more versed in the topic have already said this, but I'm speaking as a guy that voted for him. And I'm not even blaming the president. What I'm saying, and this is the reality, that, you know, it all, you know, the buck stops here, like Harry Truman said, man. All of that garbage comes right back smack dab onto the president's desk. The vice president of the United States was standing there giving a speech when they opened this thing up. There's evidence that they were trying to rush this loan through, all kinds of stuff. I'm sure there was nothing illegal. It was simply politically expedient. They really believed this was the way to go, man. They hung their name tag on this thing. They tattooed this thing on their ass, this Solyndra. Now the thing is belly up, and these guys are taking the fifth. This is bad, man. Obama's not going to get reelected president of the United States. It isn't going to happen. There's only one thing that could keep it from happening.
What?
The Republicans butcher this process to the point where they stick some nut in there, like Michelle Bachmann, or I don't think it'll happen. I think right now, and I'm loath to predict it because I was so wrong about Giuliani, but I didn't read the political landscape very well. This thing seems wide open for Romney, if you want my opinion. I mean, if you want to put a candidate in there that can get elected, if you want to put a guy in there that knows how to present himself, I mean, look at it. They've tried to tar and feather Romney a lot of different ways. He's a Mormon. That must mean he's a racist. He's, oh boy, that, you know, health care that he did in Massachusetts. Well, you're going to find out, because Romney will become the candidate for the party. You're going to find out it isn't so much that people don't like public health care. They don't like how much it costs. They don't like how much it costs. People aren't against it. They're just against the price.
Well, you're going to say that Romney's going to be nominated. You're going to be run just like Giuliani, too.
Yeah. Giuliani. Yeah, I was wrong about Giuliani. You're right. I ain't going to be wrong about Romney, because they got nobody left, man. There ain't nobody. There's no Obama story on the Republican side of the football. There's just none. Michelle Bachmann ain't it. I got big news for you. Sarah Palin ain't it. Give it up about Palin. She ain't. Even the Republicans don't want her around. Perry, he ain't got it, man. I thought this guy was tough. He ain't tough. He folded like a cheap freaking, excuse me for saying this, I was going to say Chinese suitcase, like a cheap suit.
What about Chinese suitcase, man? That's racist.
It ain't racist.
Cheap Chinese suitcase is.
Maybe the suitcase is racist. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The NBA has postponed training camps, scrapped some preseason games. There could be a strike. Oh, no, not that. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh! Texas stops serving a special last meal to death row inmates just to really stick it in. California councilman names dog Muhammad, draws criticism. He named his dog Muhammad. Perry and Romney come out swinging in the GOP debate. We'll give you the background on that, but I already basically gave you the whole 9 yards. And we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more. I think we have David Hall coming up, too.
Yeah, get talking, David Hall.
Well, he's coming. He's going to rip into me for something. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. And coming up tonight at 7 will be our KFI show for KFI in Los Angeles. But you can still follow along here on Phil TV and HD. If you have a backstage pass on our website, you can watch our streaming video of the show. And by the way, when you're on our website, go over to our merchandise store and pick up some Phil Henry crap. We've got hats, we've got T-shirts, we've got shot glasses, we got coffee mugs, we've got our legacy CDs. These are our best of CDs from 1997 through 2005. Now, David G. Hall is joining us online here from Pasadena tonight. We're going to talk a little bit with him. I wanted to also get real clear politics, bud. Have you got that?
Rear.
Yeah.
Not rear, real. I misspoke. David.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, let me tell you what's up. We got a little bit of a problem last night you had on this Wheeler. And by the way, I just saw that mouse. If you get that mouse on your webpage?
Yeah, the real mouse.
Yeah. Is that the one or?
No, that's just a picture. Are you kidding? Let me explain, okay?
Well, now hold on for a minute because I don't like doing this on the air, as you know, but I have no choice when Bud puts me on and he says that you want to talk about this.
I would rather not do it on the air either. Every time I hear from you, we're on the air.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil. I'd rather do it off the air, but last night you had on your program a man that had a apparently some kind of a menagerie of animals. Is this true?
We had on Dean Wheeler. The man is the...
That's the gentleman with the holistic center.
Yes. And he was in a pet store of some kind, or a pet shop. You could hear mice in the background.
Yeah.
And he said that they communicate. That was his belief.
All I know is I got a call from some listeners, more than one listener this morning. They said that you had on a black gentleman called the show, Pastor William Rennick, correct?
Yes.
And that the mice used some hate speech.
Well, David, they're mice. What do you think?
I don't believe it, but what I'm being told is that this guy Wheeler believed it and said to Pastor Rennick that the mice were race baiting.
Look, yeah, maybe.
Well, what did one of these mice, not the mouse, I guess they're not say they didn't say the N-word, right?
Who?
I'm asking you, did one of these mice say something?
Are you kidding me or something, man? That must have been who, bud?
That's Mr. Wheeler, Mr. Hall. He goes, the mouse said Jungle Bunny.
Jungle Bunny? On my radio show.
Your radio show? It's my radio show.
Well, and what these mice are what? What are they? Are they trained to say this stuff?
There's no mouse on Earth that's trained to say this stuff. I think Wheeler was hearing it or thinking it. I think the guy's mental. I don't think it was...
All right, so in other words, this guy Wheeler, under the guise of being a yoga instructor, is a virulent racist. Is that it?
That's pretty much what we came to the conclusion on, yeah. That he thought it was funny.
So this guy that's a yoga instructor and who teaches old ladies how to float in salt water, whatever the hell these guys do, I don't know what they do. When he goes home at night, he's burning crosses. Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess. Because this dude is talking about how he's got these mice, and oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. And
who's that?
This is Wheeler. He's talking to Pastor Rennick. He says, oh, I'm so sorry. Because you can hear the mice chirping, right?
Yeah, they was chirping in the background and everything like they're going like that.
And anyway, he says to the Pastor Rennick, he says, oh, I'm so sorry. And
what did he say that for?
Well, he said that the mouse said the N-word.
Mouse said the N-word.
Yeah, he said these two mice are talking to each other, and as soon as Pastor Rennick got on the line, they started getting all agitated and tearing up newspaper, you know?
Yeah, so the mice was like, and another thing that mice said was that Pastor Rennick, it's something they drop out of their butt and got to take to a dung field.
A dung field? What the hell are you guys talking about?
Well, he said that the mice were saying that about him.
Yeah, he said the mice were saying that he fell out of a mouse butt.
Yeah. Fell out of a, what did he say?
Fell out of a mouse's butt.
Why don't you guys get serious, okay?
I'm telling you the truth. This is what happened. If you got calls from people then and they're telling you anything different, this is what happened.
Well, I got calls from people saying that there were two mice in a cage race baiting.
Did you believe that?
No, I didn't believe it. I just called up to find out what's going on.
Well, that's what was going on, okay?
Well, hang up on him?
That's exactly what I did. We'll be back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Race baiting.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Well, here is the response that Rick Perry gave to Mitt Romney, and it makes total sense to me. But then I'm not a Tea Party conservative when it comes to this particular issue. I will also say that neither is Rick Perry, and I think that for anybody in a debate, you know, it was a Republican, it's a GOP debate. All right. If you're going to boo Rick Perry, you're booing the Tea Party boy. So that just shows me there's a ton of confusion, and they better get their act together because Obama's ripe for the falling. But he ain't just going to fall over. You can't just walk in there. There's no way that you're just going to waltz right in there and take the White House away from the Democrats. Ain't going to happen. Okay? They're very formidable when it comes to their ability to get the vote out and to organize. They were as good at it in 2008 as the Republicans were in 2004. So here was the moment. Romney sought to capitalize on the concern among many conservatives about Mr. Perry's position on illegal immigration, harshly criticizing the Texas policy that allows illegal immigrants to qualify for in-state tuition rates at public colleges and universities. That just doesn't make sense to me, Mr. Romney said, noting that illegal immigrants get as much as $22,000 a year in tuition breaks that out-of-state citizens do not get, out-of-state citizens. Now, offering an impassioned defense of that policy, Mr. Perry apparently, you know, got up, he stood up there at the plate and took his cuts, and receiving boos from a segment of the audience, Mr. Perry did not back down, saying, and listen to this, this isn't a Tea Party quote. This is something that comes right out of the moderate Republican Party, if not a Democrat. He said, if you say that we should not educate children that have come into our state for no other reason than they've been brought here by no fault of their own, I don't think you have a heart. Whoa! Yeah, man, look at that. That's a quote. I don't think you have a heart. All of a sudden, I'm a Rick Perry fan, and guess what? He ain't going to get elected president. Or maybe he will. Maybe he will. The Republicans are not going to like him. So he may not make it through the primary process, but he might. We'll see how much sway these Tea Party people have got. I got to be honest with you. If Perry burns his bridges with them and they begin to get a little bit more of a sense of Rick Perry as a governor, even though, like I said, the guy comes off a little squirrely, who are they going to go to? They're going to go back. They're going to back Romney. Are they going to go for Ron Paul? Are they going to go to a third party what's his face? Trump. And what is that going to do? It's going to kill the Republicans, and Obama gets a second term. We'll find out. The debate held at the Orange County Convention Center in Orange County, Florida, and sponsored by Fox News, Google, and the Republican Party of Florida, featured robust audience participation and questions submitted via YouTube. The 5,000 people there responded loudly at times, including boos during a question from a gay soldier about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell regarding gay and lesbian service members. And that's when Rick Santorum basically, in my opinion, showed what a moron he is. And not only a moron, but a pandering moron. So I don't, if you're talking about social engineering, what is wrong with you, man? Why can you not see that issue in light of the civil rights struggle that took place in this country in the 50s and 60s? You don't see it as the same thing, huh? It's social engineering. Well, goodbye, Santorum. And while Fox News moderators sought to engage all of the candidates, the exchanges between Romney and Perry standing side by side overshadowed the others. Of course they did, because that's the one that everybody wants to see. Those are the two guys that everyone... And, you know, now I'm taking back a little bit of what I said.
Yeah, you probably think that Rick Perry's going to wind up... You're going to look good a lot of people.
He may. I think a lot of people had Rick Perry pegged as a Tea Party guy. And for people that don't like Tea Party people, they're insensitive. They're all about the money. They're not about anything else. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about... civil liberties. That's not an area of interest. I see it a little bit more in a more broad-minded way. I think that the Tea Party was founded basically to address economic problems. It's not that they don't care about social issues. They don't engage in a serious discussion. That's not their thing. That's not what their party's about. As far as those things are concerned, it's an individual basis type of deal. But unfortunately, as you can see in the answer that Perry gave, those things are the economics and the social welfare, all of that stuff goes together. You can't ignore it. So when a guy says, if you're saying that kids that have come to this country should not be educated, then now they get a tuition break that out-of-state people don't get. the question that I don't think was answered, at least in that story, was the break that they get because they are in-state, is it a break that in-state Texans get who are citizens? Is it the same break? In other words, is it something that Romney's capitalizing on, saying, wow, look at this, they get a discount and American citizens don't? Well, what American citizens are you talking about? One's from out of state. Well, the American citizens that live in state, they do. Nobody brought that up, if that in fact is the case. Now, on to the NBA. You care about this stuff, you guys?
I like the NBA.
Yeah, me too.
I don't. I do. I just, not this time of year, man, I can't get into the NBA in freaking October. Anyway, the NBA's collective bargaining divide with its players has brought an eraser to the scheduled opening of training camp and preseason games through October the 15th. The league announced on Friday morning training camp has been delayed indefinitely. According to a news release distributed by the league, and 43 preseason games between October the 9th and the 15th have been scrapped. According to NBA Deputy Commissioner Adam Silver, we have regretfully reached the point on the calendar where we are not able to open training camps on time and need to cancel the first week of preseason games. We will make further decisions as warranted. Commissioner David Stern and union leaders met on Thursday in New York. They remain divided on how to resolve a situation that the league says leaves 23 of 30 teams losing money. The players have conceded that they'll take a 4% cut from 2010-2011 salary, but the league wants to cap salaries, cap the overall salary for the league at $2 billion for coming seasons after paying $2.15 billion last season. The sides are expected to meet again next week. They've accepted a 4% cut, but that doesn't get it down to the $2 billion that the league wants to put it at.
Well, that sounded to me like at least the players have given a little bit.
Yeah, they gave a little bit.
What are you laughing at?
I, you're right. I mean, that's what negotiation is all about, you know. The league says it wants $2 billion. The players gave back 4% out of a $2.15 billion. They'll reach a happy medium. But the bottom line is, if 23 out of 30 teams are losing money, in any other business, after a while, and I don't know, you know, what the time frame is for the NBA or any other entertainment business, and that's what this is. It is an entertainment product. And as an entertainment product, it's at the furthest edge of what is needed primarily in a society. First thing is food. The second thing is shelter. You know, the third thing is a relative safety and the ability to work and make more food and like that. And then we get further and further and further out from the essential. And where are we? We're at talk radio and NBA. And that, let me tell you something, that's like the outer ring, which means most unnecessary. We're probably further out than the NBA. There's no question.
What, you think talk radio is less necessary than NBA?
Yeah, in the minds of a lot of people. I think if you polled the American people, well, maybe not, I don't know. It would depend on the talk radio. But if you polled the American people and said, what would you rather give up, the NBA or talk radio, it might be split down the middle. But neither one is essential to anything. Now, I love basketball, football, baseball. I love it. It's a marvelous diversion. They're losing money because obviously their business model is starting to fail them a little bit. They're paying the players too much or the owners are keeping too much money. I don't know what the story is here. Maybe they're not making as much from merchandise as they thought they would. Maybe they need to reorganize how they divvy up that merchandise money. I don't know what kind of deal the NBA has in terms of merchandise. Does each team keep its own merchandise money? Do they split it up equally among all the clubs like they do in the NFL? Or they did in the NFL. I don't know whether they do that anymore. The NFL cuts that TV money up.
But they have TV money, the NBA.
Because it's different. It's different.
Why?
Because they play too many games. And they play on weeknights. These are nights when a network may not want to broadcast all the games. So they out of necessity, they cut local deals with local cable companies, local television packages, or regional television packages. It's got nothing to do with the national money that they would get. Like the NFL has one game a week on Sunday. The NFL, if you look at the NFL in terms of how it just so happens that sport is telegenically, it's a attractive sport. It is contained in the screen. You can see everything that's happening on the football field that is essential to see on the football field in that television picture. That's not true in baseball. That's not even true in hockey or basketball. Football plays once a week on a Sunday when everybody's got the day off, when there's nothing on TV. So naturally, the networks, hey, here's something we can show on Sunday that's going to make us some money. So yeah, they love that. The only problem with football is that it's an expensive sport to put to actually, it's an expensive entertainment product to put on the stage. It costs a lot of money to just equip a football team and all of the other things that go along with that. Not that they pay the salaries, not that they're paying such big salaries, but if you get right down to it, that's what we need more of, and we need less ball game, every freaking day a ball game.
Yeah, but you're going to cut down the NBA, and people, what are you talking about?
I'm saying that one of the reasons why football is so huge is it does. They're not ODing us on football. We're not overdosing on this stuff. It's not every freaking day of my life. Football is so effective at the way it does things that the Super Bowl is now a bigger event than the World Series. It's the biggest sporting event on the calendar, and as such, it's the biggest television event on the calendar. And people that don't even like football go to Super Bowl parties. People that don't even like football know what the Super Bowl is. And the reason why it has gotten popular is because of what I just told you. One day a week, 16 lousy games out of the air, then the playoffs, then it's goodbye, thank you very much, get lost. That's it, man. And let's go back to our lives. Oh, wow, it's football season again. 16 games, playoffs, Super Bowl, goodbye. It's not like every damn day of my life, one half of the year, I'm taking up watching football.
Yeah, but I mean, I like watching basketball.
You like basketball. Bud likes basketball. Not everybody likes basketball. Nobody likes basketball to the tune that they like football. No one likes baseball or hockey to the way they like football. Football is, as I said, it's got all of those elements that make it a winning proposition when it comes to making money. The only thing that'll kill football are the things that will kill any business that is doing well, and that is you're having labor management problems. You are not smart with the money that you're making. You're not investing enough in the product. You are there's too much going out and not enough coming in. That's just bad management. Well, we'll see. But football is, like I said, man. That's the model. Okay, we're going to be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our last segment here of the last show of the week, unless you join us tonight for our KFI show here on Phil TV in HD. A mother banned from school grounds after confronting her son's bullies on the bus, and she beat the crap out of them. No, she didn't.
Wish she would have, though.
We'll be back with that story and more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome. Keep that music up, baby, till Phil starts talking, and then you can play. There you go. A mother who confronted two boys who bullied her 10-year-old son has been banned from the school's Minneapolis, her son's Minneapolis school, and even her son's bus stop. Wow. Tanya Sidney said she does not regret taking actions into her own hand to keep her son from being a victim. How you guys, do you believe this?
What?
Do you believe this lady's version of it?
I don't know, man.
That's right, we don't. We've got CBS Radio here from Minneapolis telling us that Savanti Griffin, well, this is a little boy, he told his mother and his stepdad he was being bullied and hit on the school bus, so she took matters into her own hands. She went to the bus stop the next day and confronted the bus driver. He told me, I'm doing the best I can. I can't be in 50 million places at once. That's a bad answer, Mr. Bus Driver. That's a stupid answer, as a matter of fact. That's not what you say. You say, yes, this is serious, And I'm going to, with your consent, get help from the school. And if need be, from the police. That's what you say there. She then got on, well, this is what she says the bus driver said, you know. And people say, well, why wouldn't you take this woman's word for it? Well, why should I? Look at folks. I know enough about parents and kids. I know that there are many, many times the kids are bullied. I understand that. And many, many times some parents are just really weird. See, I got to get the facts, baby. I'm not going to go off half-cocked because I don't know what the facts are. So once this bus driver said what she said he said, she got on the bus and yelled at the two boys that Griffin said were the bullies. Specifically, to the two boys, I said, you need to keep your hands to yourselves. The driver ordered her off the bus. She and Griffin then walked to Lake Nokomis Community School. Sydney said that when she and Griffin got to school, they were met by the school's police liaison officer, the principal, and a transportation supervisor. The supervisor pulled out a photograph of another African-American woman who he said he created a disturbance on a school bus last year. That's when the transportation guy apologized and said, I assumed you were the woman from last year. Her son and the two bullies later had to apologize to each other. Sydney got a letter from the principal saying she's banned from school grounds and the bus stop for the rest of the year. It's mind-boggling. She's now filed an appeal. Blah, 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 blah. All right.
Well, what do you think?
What's to think, man? I don't know what's going on with that story. How is any human being supposed to draw a conclusion? She's shown a picture, and you're the woman from last year. No, you're not, but still, you're banned. And I don't even know what this woman said was true. If these kids were bullying her kid, you know.
Well, why would a kid make it up?
I don't know. You know, kids tell stories, man. It won't be the first time that a kid tells a story. I'm not saying the kid's lying. But how do I know the kids were bullying this kid? Maybe they just got into a fight. Maybe it was just some hassle that the kids had with each other over something. They come back. He tells his mom. She, of course, is thinking, oh, my poor baby. She gets onto the bus. She starts screaming at some kid. Gets to the school. The school's saying, what the hell are you doing on a bus? You sound like a maniac. Oh, wait a minute. You're not that woman from last year, but still, you're still a maniac. You're banned from the school. Meanwhile, she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand. She's not listening to anybody. She's only listening to her kid. She doesn't, you know, realize there's a world that's much bigger and broader and badder out there than her and her kid. And so now she's going to appeal, and she goes to the newspaper, you know.
Yeah, well, that's probably what she did.
Well, why say that?
How else did the news get it?
Exactly. How else did they get it? What, do you think CBS has got a reporter that's just hot on the Lake Nokomis Community School beat? They got a reporter hanging around. Wow, what's the news today from Lake Nokomis?
Oh, so that you think she called them up?
Hell yeah. Either that, her, or a friend of hers or something. Retiree fined for a 24-foot cross on her front lawn. Apparently, she was told to take this one down. This is in the San Fernando Valley here in Los Angeles. She could face thousands of dollars in zoning fines for erecting a 24-high-foot cross on her property. The L.A. building and safety inspectors visited her home on Lake, the home of Lely Dobner on Thursday after receiving complaints from neighbors and determined she had violated zoning laws by erecting an unpermitted structure. She has two options. Building and safety spokesman Dave Lara told the newspaper, option A is that she takes it down. Option B is that she tries to get a permit. This is a public safety issue. Well, the issue is it's a 24-foot high cross, and if she put up a smaller one, you know.
Yeah, what do you mean a smaller one? It wouldn't warrant anyone like that.
Phil Hendry Show. I don't know. All right, the Phil Hendry Show is produced by me and by Fred Scotty and Dan Northcraft and Chris Johnson. And don't forget, tonight we have the KFI Show. Visit us at KFI at philhendryshow.com. And we'll see you guys tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Hendry.